The roaring lion of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. On a summer's day in the picturesque grounds of a large chateau, two male nurses stroll along the side of a river carrying walkie-talkies. A sign reads, Hôpital Psychiatrique. Inside the chateau, a patient enters his doctor's office.
Morning, doctor.
Oh, good morning, Charles. You're looking splendid.
I feel splendid.
Every day and in every way, you're feeling better and better.
Indeed.
Now, why don't you sit here?
Wouldn't you like me to,
Not unless you want to.
No. I'll be quite comfortable here. Thank you. Doctor, I'm surprised.
Oh, of course, you quit.
3 months ago. You know, there was a time when your forgetfulness would have made me feel very rejected.
But not now,
Well, a little rejected, perhaps. Did you do it intentionally?
Why should I do that?
Well, I'm a patient you consider to be completely rehabilitated. On your recommendation soon to appear before the Sanity Board. Your reputation on the line. A little test, perhaps,
Not very long ago, an obvious trick like that would have sent you into a towering rage.
And poor old Cluzo would have silently and passively submitted to another massacre. It's a miracle you were somehow able to keep putting him back together again. Poor old Cluzo. There was a time when I couldn't even speak his name.
There was also a time when you would joyfully have killed him.
Yes. I was a sick man, wasn't I? We've come a long way, haven't we?
And you're not even a little bit bothered when you think of Cluzo?
Not even a little bit. Do you believe me?
If you say so.
Well, I could be lying. You are a good psychiatrist, but I may be a better liar.
For your sake, I hope you're not. Sooner or later, you'd run into Cluzo and then back here for life. No more chance of another hearing.
Coming here day after day, watching you chain smoke yourself into an early grave, and knowing that on certain mornings you'll be particularly morose and testy because you've had another fight with your wife, like this morning.
How do you know that?
It's the only time you doodle.
I keep forgetting you used to be chief inspector of the Sûreté.
And will be again.
But Clouseau is chief inspector now.
Until the better man comes along.
Well, in that case, I think Inspector Clouseau had better start looking to his laurels.
What? You mean?
The board meets at 2 this afternoon.
This afternoon?
If everything goes as I expect it to, you'll be out of here this afternoon.
Thank you.
See you at 2. Cluzo!
Now, Doctor. Some people would consider your methods most unorthodox.
I was just making sure that you're not a better liar than I am a psychiatrist.
2 o'clock.
Dreyfus stands on the bank of the river in the grounds of the hospital, joyfully feeding the swans. Behind him on the lawn, a patient is enjoying a game of archery. Clouseau, wearing a long beige mac and brown hat, struts across the lawn and addresses the archer, who's wearing a red Indian headdress.
Oh.
Clouseau's bemused by the strange noises the patient makes in response to his greeting. He moves on across the lawn, stopping by a game of croquet set up on the grass. Clouseau picks up a mallet and whacks the ball. It flies through the air, ricocheting off of a tree and landing on Dreyfus's head, knocking him into the river. Clouseau hands Dreyfus the mallet, but the head snaps off in his hands. Clouseau hoists Dreyfus out of the water with a rake. He collapses face down on the grass. Clouseau climbs on top of him and pumps his back.
Out with the bad air, in with the good. Out with the bad air, in with the good.
Don't look, Fiona.
And now, the kiss of life.
A patient hits him with her handbag.
Pervert! Dirty old men.
Closer.
Please, there is no need to thank me.
Thank you.
For saving your life.
Someone? I was hit on the head.
Yes, you have received a bimp upon the head.
Bimp?
What?
You said bimp.
Yes, I know that. It is a large bimp. You could receive the concussion from such a bimp. Allow me to assist you.
No! I'm all right. I'm fine. Never better. Just a little shaky. Probably the shock of, the surprise of seeing you here again today.
Well, I received a report from the Sanity Commission that they were going to review your case today. So I thought a few words from me on your behalf.
Oh, God. How generous of you, but...
Well, I'm not without influence, you know.
Yes, I know that.
Yes, I have become a rather important official in the department.
I've heard you are the new chief inspector.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
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 Yes, yes. Yes, we made quite a few changes since you went crazy.
For the better, I'm sure.
By the way, Sergeant Chevalier sends you his kind regards.
Oh, Sergeant Chevalier. Good old Sergeant Chevalier. How is he anyway?
Well, you know, there are leaders and there are followers.
Hmm.
And I'm afraid that Sergeant Chevalier will always be a follower, eh?
Oh, yes. And you, my friend Clouseau, a leader, huh?
Well,
always a leader. Onwards and upwards to the top. Hmm.
It is my karma.
What?
My destiny.
Oh, yes.
Yes, a few more years on the force, and I might even be persuaded to run for the public office.
You can count on my vote.
And you, my friend, can count on me to do everything in my power to get you out of this plaza. Oh, yes, I know how you feel. My hat. Well...
As Clouseau gets up from the bench that they are sitting on, it tips up and throws Dreyfus back into the river.
Are you all right, former Chief Inspector?
Yes! Yes, I'm perfectly all right. See?
Dreyfus steps on the rake. It springs up and smashes him in the face, forcing him backwards off of his feet and into the water.
One moment! And I will have you extracted.
I'm fine. I am perfect. Every day and in every way, I'm getting better and better. Somewhere over the rainbow.
I'm afraid this is just not your day, my friend.
But it is my day. It is, my friend. After 3 long, terrible years, it is at last my day. I will not permit, repeat anything to spoil it. Now, I will walk you to the gate, and I will kiss you goodbye, and you will drive off in your new car, which should rightfully be mine. And then I will have my interview with the Sanity Commission, and they will set me free. And then I will kill you.
Two male nurses restrain Dreyfus as he chases Clouseau around his car.
I want to kill him. I'd like to kill him. I've got to kill him.
His doctor observes his erratic behaviour from his office window. He shakes his head at him disapprovingly. Dreyfus winks at him and shrugs his shoulders. AMLO Productions Limited presents a Blake Edwards film starring Peter Sellers in The Pink Panther Strikes Again with Herbert Lom, Howard K. Smith, Leonard Rossiter, Colin Blakely, Graham Stark, Byron Kane, Dick Croquette, Richard Vernon, Brani McRobbers, Bert Quauk, Andre Marianne, Vanda Godsell, Jeffrey Baildon, Patsy Smart, Tony Simpson, Norman Mitchell, Michael Robbins, and Leslie Ann Down. A cartoon Clouseau is in an empty movie theatre, watching the Pink Panther on the big screen, imitating being Batman's Robin. Clouseau sits in the front row looking furious as he sees the Pink Panther on the screen, acting out being King Kong. Then as Maria in The Sound of Music. On screen, the Pink Panther and Clouseau act out the famous dancing scene from Singing in the Rain, along with Hey Big Spender. Clouseau becomes increasingly agitated. Produced and directed by Blake Edwards. Audio described by Penelope Parisi. Nighttime, in a built-up residential street. Dreyfus peeps out from behind a set of curtains in an apartment watching as Clouseau pulls up in his car on the street below. Dreyfus runs through the dark flat with a torch in his hand. Clouseau arrives at his floor in the apartment block via a lift. Carrying a brown paper bag of groceries in his hand, he leaves a trail of rice from the lift to his front door. A sophisticated young woman comes out of her apartment into the hallway. She stares at Clouseau and the trail of rice. Clouseau awkwardly shuffles about in the rice as if tap dancing. The woman drops a glove. Clouseau, with his key in the door and also attached to a wire in his pocket, steps forward to help her, his trousers ripping as he does so. Dreyfus is in the apartment beneath Inspector Clouseau's. He pulls the table away from the side of the front door and clambers on top of it, then frantically screws out a hole in the ceiling. Clouseau enters his apartment. Leaving a line of rice across his floorboards, Clouseau ventures further into his flat. Charles Dreyfus pokes a periscope through the floorboard and spies on Clouseau. On his guard, Clouseau practices some martial arts movements as he cautiously enters another room. Dreyfus races along the hallway and climbs upon a chair. He makes another hole in the ceiling, then spies on Clouseau through his periscope. Slowly, Clouseau moves around his apartment. Dreyfus follows his every move from the flat below. In his kitchen, Clouseau throws open his fridge. The contents spill out onto the floor with the force. Dreyfus's long-handled screw makes a hole in the floor of the kitchen, straight into the contents of a tomato ketchup spillage. As he pulls the screw back through the ceiling, he is splurged in the eye with the sauce. Clouseau checks inside his washing machine. As he opens the door, the water spills out all over the floor. Dreyfus's next hole showers him with the water. Dreyfus runs through the kitchen and past the owners of the apartment, who is bound and gagged and positioned on the floor. In his bedroom, Clouseau continues his search of the apartment. Content that no one is hiding within his cupboards, Clouseau starts to remove his trousers. Dreyfus creates a new hole in the floor of Clouseau's bedroom and watches as the inspector strips off. With his suit removed, Clouseau takes a long blue dressing gown out of his wardrobe and secures it around his body with a red ribbon. Downstairs, Dreyfus runs to get into a new position. Clouseau lays spread-eagled on his back on his large four-poster bed.
30 weeks.
Upon the canopy of his bed lies in wait a Chinese man dressed all in black. He slithers round on top of the canopy, then rips open the fabric. The man falls through the roof onto the bed, landing on top of Clouseau. A fight ensues between Clouseau and Cato. Clouseau retrieves nunchucks from his wardrobe and Cato a long wooden pole from underneath the carpet. Cato charges at Clouseau with the wooden pole. Clouseau whacks him with the nunchucks. Cato misses Clouseau and heads at speed, unable to stop, into the lounge. The end of the pole slams into the middle of the television set. With a broken set of nunchucks, Clouseau finds another weapon, a short wooden pole with a metal sword-like handle. As they do battle around the flat, ornaments and furniture are smashed in their wake. Clouseau lunges at Cato, who in turn stumbles backwards through the bedroom, tripping over onto the broken bed. Clouseau prepares to attack, and on taking a run into the room, trips on Dreyfus's periscope, sticking up a few inches from the floor. The impact knocks Dreyfus off of his perch. Clouseau yells in Cato's face, then chases him around the apartment. Cato loses sight of Clouseau. Frantically, he checks in the kitchen, then returns to the hallway. As he moves into another room, Clouseau creeps out of a doorway, holding the long wooden pole. He tiptoes through the kitchen into the lounge, then is spooked by the sound of a creaking door. Creeping backwards out of separate rooms into the hallway, the men meet back to back. Turning in a clockwise direction, they momentarily fail to notice one another.
It's the phone. The phone is ringing.
As his manservant goes to answer the phone, Clouseau hits him with the pole.
Relax, I'll get it. This is Chief Inspector Clouseau's residence. This is Chief Inspector Clouseau speaking on the phone. What? Oh, put him on. Good evening, Commissioner. How are you? How is Madame and all the little commissioners?
Dreyfus makes a hole by the inspector's leg. As he sticks his finger through the hole, Clouseau treads on it.
I see. Well, you can rest assured that I shall take every precaution that is necessary. Thank you, Commissioner, and good evening. I have just received the word that former Chief Inspector Dreyfus has escaped from the insane asylum. For some reason, the Deputy Commissioner thinks that he might try to kill me. Obviously, the poor man is crazier than anyone gives him the credits for. Nevertheless, I am ordered to take every precaution. Now, see that the back door and the front door are locked while I slip into my new hunchback disguise, kid.
Clouseau unwraps a parcel. Inside is a Quasimodo hunchback disguise kit. He opens up the box and reads the directions. Helium Hunchback. Warning, do not overinflate. In the flat below, Dreyfus continues his quest to spy on the inspector. Running through the dimly lit apartment with his torch, he places sticks of dynamite on the floor before opening up a balcony door. Upstairs, Clouseau stands before a full-length mirror, putting on his disguise, a fake nose, a set of fake teeth, a wig and a long coat.
Both doors are locked now. Who are you? What have you done with Inspector Clouseau?
Chief Inspector Clouseau. Sir, dear, didn't I?
Oh, Chief Inspector, that is fantastic.
If you think this is fantastic, where did you see the full effect with the hem?
Downstairs, Dreyfus rigs up the dynamite as Clouseau inflates the hunchback that he is wearing.
Chief Inspector Clouseau?
Yes, this is Chief Inspector Clouseau. Who is speaking?
My name is Duval. Claude Duval. I have the honor to be chairman of the Jacques Clouseau Presentation Committee.
A presentation committee? To me? For what purpose, may I ask?
For what purpose, you ask? How modest of you. The purpose, monsieur, is to honor one of this city's most dedicated, brave, and selfless public servants.
You are most generous, monsieur, miss. Yes, I must admit I've often wondered, considering my years on the force of my numerous accomplishments, why recognition was not forthcoming earlier.
Absolutely right. 9 years faithful service at the Sûreté. Have you had as much as a single decoration in all that time?
Sir, that is quite correct. However, as you are no doubt aware, I have recently received an important promotion.
Really?
I have replaced the lunatic Dreyfus as chief inspector.
I know. I'm sure Paris sleeps the more safely because of the change.
You're really missed, Ken. But I can assure you, when it comes to matters of getting the piss, I'm always on my toes.
Chief Inspector!
One moment, please. Can't you see that I'm on the film?
As he speaks to Dreyfus on the phone, the hunchback overinflates and he floats out of the window. Dreyfus's dynamite explodes. The force of the eruption shoots Clouseau over the rooftops towards a church. Two bemused nuns spot him floating in the air. Clouseau tampers with a helium bottle in his pocket and he plunges into the river below. Later in his office.
Oh, yes, Commissioner. Fortunately, there was sufficient air still left in my home to keep me afloat until they rescued. Yes, yes. Well, thank you very much, Commissioner. Goodbye. That was the commissioner. He was most concerned.
Well, you have been very, very lucky, you know.
Oh, yes, I know. Poor Cato will be in the hospital for weeks.
Do you know what kind of a bomb it was?
The exploding kind. Mark my words, Francois. Sinister forces are at work. And this mad Bimmer must be apprehended at all costs. Make sure you issue an old Prince bulletin immediately.
Yes, sir.
What about my clothes?
Sergeant Chauvin is rounding some up for you.
Yes.
While you're waiting, perhaps you would sign the order to transport Jean Tournier to prison.
Tournier, the bank robber?
Yes.
I shall be happy to sign that order. Ah, it's life for you this time, Tournier. At last, we are rid of you.
Clouseau signs a transport order. The man it refers to is on a train flanked by two officers.
I have to go to the toilet.
All right.
The officers lead the man through the train to the toilet. One of the officers unlocks his handcuffs, then they stand guard outside the toilet as he goes inside. The man finds a hatch in the roof of the WC and clambers out onto the roof of the train. Tournier squats on top of the train. Turning to look behind him, he beckons forward a helicopter flying over to rescue him.
All right, Tournier, that's long enough.
The helicopter, piloted by Dreyfus, flies low over the train, enabling Tournier to grab hold of it and to be lifted off. Later, in a warehouse.
Now, this is my plan. Step number one, I will recruit the world's greatest criminal mind. Step number two, I will build an organization so sinister, so powerful, by comparison, the Cosa Nostra will seem like the Vienna Boys Choir. Here is the list.
But half of these men are in prison.
We'll get them out.
Impossible.
I'll bet you 20 million francs it isn't.
Why would I get 20 million francs?
I thought you'd ask that. Step number three, next Thursday at precisely 2 p.m., you and six men will enter the main branch of the Paris Credit Bank.
This afternoon at approximately 5 minutes to 5 o'clock, three men dressed in building maintenance uniforms entered and robbed the Paris Credit Bank. The leader has been identified as Jean Tournier.
How much did they get?
Millions. Here's the report.
All right, that will be all, Francois. Thank you.
20 million francs. And now, the next step.
Nighttime. In England, a view of a large beam detached house covered in ivy. Inside the house, a young woman lies asleep in her bed when a man with a tattooed hand smothers her face. Next, the man and his accomplice seek out her father, who's taking a bath. A motorcyclist powers up the long driveway to the side of the house. Parking his bike, he takes off his helmet and lets himself into the house. Once inside the hall, he is confronted by one of the men holding the father and daughter at gunpoint. The other clobbers him over the head with his gun. New Scotland Yard.
Hugo Fassbender and his daughter have been kidnapped.
Oh, Professor Fassbender?
Paris has a theory. They're sending over the top man, Chief Inspector Clouseau. He just sent this telegram. Arrived at Gatwick Airport, BR121, 12:38 p.m.
Clouseau is driven up to the front entrance of the Fassbender's house.
Yes, who are you?
Our job is, sir.
Now, what is it you do?
I am the butler.
Oh, the butler, yes, yes, yes. Can you tell me where you were on the night of the kidnapping?
Asleep in my room, sir.
Asleep in your room? Can you prove that?
No.
Make a note of that, Sergeant Jard. Tell the staff to assemble in the drawing room. I will interview them in a few moments. What was your name again?
Jarvis.
Jarvis, that's right. Now, perhaps you'd be kind enough to show me around the house.
Very good, sir. Oh.
I suggest we start with the upstairs.
This is the upstairs, sir.
Yes, I know that. I know that. This is a door.
Yes, sir, that is a door.
Yes, I know that, I know that.
It's not locked, sir.
Obviously. Stay where you are. I prefer to handle this alone. Is there anybody hiding there in the dark?
Clouseau lights a match and walks through the dark room. Jarvis follows him into the room and switches on the light. Clouseau is surprised to find himself on a treadmill in a gym.
Nothing like a good warm-up when you're on a case, you know? Tell me, which switch did you use to turn on the lights?
The light switch, sir. Yeah.
Strange, it didn't work for me. Ah. Yes. Unless I miss my guess, this would be the gymnasium room, eh?
I guess, sir.
Yes. It is a good room. Yes. Ah. This reminds me of my younger days at the Sûreté Police Academy. The parallel bars, my speciality. I was something of an athlete, you know. Yes, yes. I was known as the Pavlova of the parallels. Yes. Yes, it's all coming back now. Ah, yes, I remember.
He dismounts and falls down a flight of stairs into the room housing the awaiting staff.
Well, that felt good. Well, now, I expect you're all wondering why I asked you here.
Clouseau accidentally treads on the toe of a female servant, then karate chops at a suit of armour. Jarvis helps him try to piece it back together again. Clouseau manages to get the armoured glove with a ball and chain attached to it stuck on his hand. Jarvis unsuccessfully tries to pull it off.
It's obvious that the knight that wore that suit did not last very long. Yes, I know. Now, yes, as I was saying,
You were saying you supposed we were all wondering why you called us.
Look, there is no need for you to speak unless I ask you a question. What is your name?
I'm Shawk, the gardener.
And what is it you do?
I'm the gardener.
And why didn't you say that to me in the first place?
I did.
Look, don't try to be funny with me, monsieur. This is a very serious matter, and everyone in this room is under the suspicions.
Room?
What? What was that?
You said room.
Yes, I know that. And there is a very good chance that someone in this room knows more about the murder than he is telling.
Murder?
What was that you said?
I said murder.
What murder?
Well, I don't know. You said murder.
I said murder? You said murder.
No, I said murder because you said murder.
I said murder!
You said there was someone in this room who knew more about the murder than he's telling.
Now, listen. What was your name?
Shawk.
The cook.
Gardener.
Ah! Now we are getting somewhere. You!
As he points, the ball swings up and hits the man in the face.
Are you all right, Mr. Stutterstut?
Who is this man?
He's Mr. Stutterstut.
I see him. What is your job, Mr. Stuckerstuff?
He's the beekeeper.
I'm not asking you. I'm asking Mr. Stuffsucker. What's that? What is he saying to you? What was that?
He says he's got a bit of a cold and he's lost his voice.
Lost his voice? A beekeeper who has lost his voice, a cook who thinks he's a gardener, and a witness to a murder. Oh, yes, it is obvious to my trained eye that there is much more going on here than meets the ear.
Clouseau swings out at an irritating fly and in the process smashes into a grand piano with the ball.
Before you are dismissed, Mr. Stiffsticker, I suggest you count your bees. You may find that one of them is missing.
You ruined that piano.
What is the price of one piano compared to the terrible crime that has been committed here?
But that's a priceless Steinway.
Not anymore. What is your name?
Mrs. Lever, Lily.
Mrs. Lovelever, I would take a shrewd guess that you're the housekeeper, am I right?
I have been with Professor Fassbender for 30 years.
That would account for your exaggerated hysteria over a simple blemish on the furniture.
Blemish?
Whatever has happened to the piano can easily be repaired. What has happened to Professor Fassbender and his daughter is another matter. And it is my job to bring the guilty party or parties to the justice. Now then, what do we know? One, that Professor Fassbender and his daughter have been kidnapped. Two, that someone has kidnapped them. Three, that my hand is on fire.
Clouseau shoves his burnt hand into a vase of tulips.
Oh, Drummond, what's going on?
Oh, good afternoon, sir. Inspector Clouseau has been interrogating the staff. Inspector Clouseau is Superintendent Quinlan.
Oh, Inspector.
Superintendent.
As he salutes, he slams the vase onto his head, causing him to stagger backwards into a gun rack. A gun triggers and shoots Quinlan in the bum. In hospital, the bullets are removed from his bottom.
Why don't you just tell Paris that he's incompetent and request that he be taken off the case?
Because I've got enough trouble with France without suggesting that the greater detective is a fool.
Steady.
Where is he now?
He is shadowing the Fassbender farm.
That evening at the Fassbender's house, Jarvis comes out of the side door wearing his motorcycling leathers and climbs onto his bike. As he powers out of the grounds, Clouseau steps out from behind a bush and watches his departure. In town, Jarvis pulls up outside a club called the Queen of Hearts. He parks up, takes off his helmet, then goes inside. Clouseau is driven up the street in a small white car. Pulling up level with the club, he gets out of the vehicle and follows Jarvis past the doorman into the club. Inside the lavishly decorated club, the bar is filled predominantly with men. Clouseau, wearing a smart suit and red tie, ambles through the club, passing a man with a parrot on his shoulder.
Hello, sir.
Yes?
Who are you?
Chuck.
Who are you?
He shows him his police ID.
What's that?
I am Chief Inspector Jacques Clouseau of the Sûreté.
Oh, how exciting.
I think I will just take a look around.
Yes, well, you'll have to make use of the bar first or take a table. The show starts in a couple of minutes.
In that case, I will take the table.
Right. Follow me, Jacques.
Jacques?
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it is my profound pleasure to introduce the incomparable Amesley Jarvis.
Clouseau is shocked as he spots Jarvis on stage, dressed as a woman in a sparkly pink dress and auburn wig.
What's a queen without a castle? You're right, no queen at all. And you'd be right again to say a winter's day is cold till you call. Until you next best thing I can do. No way of knowing which way your heart is going to go. I don't think you know. Take as long as it takes your love to grow. Until you love me, not one dream can come true. In all my dreams, there is a place for you. And so I'll keep those dreams until you love me too.
Why is it that this afternoon you are Jarvis the Fassbender butler and tonight you are...
Inspector, before you get yourself all angry...
Madame or monsieur, I must warn you. You had better watch your step.
The parrot poops on Clouseau's shoulder.
Something wrong, Ainsley?
No, of course not, Bruno. No, the inspector here was just warning me that I had to watch my step. You see, back in France, he's known as King of the Tango.
Tango?
Oh, I'd love to.
Clouseau reluctantly rises from his seat to dance with Jarvis.
The kidnappers are here.
Kidnappers?
Okay, let's go.
One of the kidnappers points a gun in Jarvis's back as he's dancing with Clouseau. A fight breaks out. A new day. A troubled-looking Quinlan is in his office reading the headlines of the Daily Express. French detective arrested in raid.
You want to call Paris now?
Quinlan gingerly rises from his seat behind his desk. He supports his sore bottom with his hand as he does so.
Look at it this way. It can't possibly get any worse.
A view of a large castle nestled at the foot of snow-covered mountains. Inside, the Fassbenders are led down a wide, sweeping staircase into a large basement area by Tournier, then presented to Dreyfus, who is playing on a large church organ. Father and daughter wait nervously for him to address them.
What an honor to have you and your charming daughter as my guests.
Who the devil are you?
Ah, yes. Who the devil indeed? Come, sit down. Let us just say for the moment that I'm your host, and that I will do everything in my power to make your stay here at Moonshine Castle as pleasant as possible, providing, of course, that you reciprocate by giving me something that I very much want.
And that would be?
I am fascinated by your work on time-space relationships, particularly vortices of electromagnetic aberrations.
I see. And do you work for a particular government? Or do you expect to sell my discovery to the highest bidder?
Neither, Professor. Nothing so mundane. You and I are going to join forces, Professor.
We're going to build the doomsday machine and conquer the world. Have a sweet.
You're mad.
Mad? On the contrary. Every day, and in every way, I've been getting better and better. Mad? Was Hannibal mad? Or Alexander? Surely Napoleon was the maddest of them all. Mad?
We shall see, Professor.
I shall tell you nothing.
I think you will.
I'll die first.
Show Miss Fassbender to the schoolroom.
Daddy?
A terrified Miss Fassbender is led into another room and tied to a chair. She watches nervously as Dreyfus and Tornier plug their ears with cotton wool.
What are you going to do?
Something so very, very painful, so hideous. Your father will have no choice but to cooperate.
He puts on a glove with claws and runs it down a blackboard.
No!
I tell you anything.
In the White House, watching American football.
The Wolverines certainly have to put some points on the scoreboard. I'm sure that Green will come out throwing. He's got to get that ball down deep into Navy territory. Green now on third down. Looks to the left, throws it.
All right,
down.
Let's go.
A very important play. Throws complete to Rhodes. He's inside the 50. He's to the 20. The clock is running down. Can the Wolverines do it?
What happened?
Where's the game?
Who is that?
Hello there.
He's on every station.
Well, call the FCC.
He's on my turn. He's saying something.
Mr. President, within 1 week, everybody, calm down.
Calm down, hell. This is an emergency. Did Michigan score?
Please, let's hear what the fellow has to say.
Another target. It is little enough to us. The life of one man against the Holocaust that could destroy the globe. What the hell's he talking about?
Quiet.
That's why I say again, give me Clouseau, and we can all sleep secure in our beds.
What's a Clouseau?
And so, next week, I shall give the world a demonstration of the awesome power I hold. On Saturday, October 9th, at precisely 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the United Nations building will vanish from the face of the earth.
And the gun goes off. The game is over.
Call the FBI, the CIA, and the Pentagon. Find out who won the game.
In his office, Quinlan sits on an inflatable cushion.
That's a photograph taken by an American news photographer while the broadcast was in progress. Palace has identified him as one Charles Dreyfus, former chief inspector of the surety.
You're joking.
And more recently, an inmate at the state facility for the criminally insane.
Oh.
Until he escaped. Here's the text of his speech. Yeah. He obviously controls equipment sophisticated enough to pirate the satellite.
Give me clues, and we can all sleep secure in our beds.
I thought that bit might interest you.
Yeah, that's one crazy chief inspector talking about another crazy chief inspector. What does he mean, anyway? Give me clues, Little enough to ask the life of one man against the Holocaust that could destroy the globe.
Here's the rest, Bedlam. He also threatens to make the UN building disappear.
Operation Looking Glass.
Fassbender. Give me Lovell, Home Office. Where is Clouseau?
I've no idea.
Clouseau arrives back at the Queen of Hearts Club. He makes his way through the crowds of people to the performance area.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, once again, the incomparable Amesley Jarvis.
A spotlight falls on Clouseau. Clouseau disappears backstage and knocks on Jarvis's dressing room door.
Monsieur Jarvis.
Clouseau opens the door and goes inside. He finds Jarvis in drag, lying on his back on the floor. The man with the tattoo on his hand lies motionless by his side. Clouseau crouches down by Jarvis's side, and with his last throes of life, Jarvis attempts to whisper into Clouseau's ear. Much to Clouseau's surprise, Jarvis kisses him on the cheek before passing away. In Quinlan's office.
Sir, coroner's report. It's amazing. Even after he'd been stabbed twice, he was still able to break the kidnapper's neck.
Ah, pity.
Yes, he had a lovely voice.
No, I meant pity that the kidnapper's dead. We might have got something out of him.
I did get something out of him.
What was that?
A clear.
Clear?
What?
You said a clear?
Yes, yes. A brochure clear. Advertising the Oktoberfest in Munich. It begins the day after tomorrow.
And you think the dead man was planning to go there? Perhaps to meet someone?
Yes. Perhaps to meet the lunatic Dreyfus. At one time, partners in the war against crime. Now, arch enemies.
You'll need help.
I prefer to do this alone.
Yes, but if Dreyfus is what we suspect, yes, he probably has an army behind him.
Well, of course it won't be easy. But nothing worthwhile ever is. That is why I have always failed where others have succeeded. For me, the greater the odds, the greater the challenge. And as always, I accept the challenge. Well, I am off to Munich. Most ingenious. The old closet plier. I really must congratulate you. If there's one thing I do enjoy, it's a good closet plier. Well, until we meet again and the case is solved.
The case is solved.
On a hot and sunny day in a city in America, police cars and army vehicles race along a dual carriageway towards the United Nations high-rise building, situated on the bank of a river. Crowds of people line the streets, curious at the commotion. TV crews film the events as they unfold. The president and his officials are in the Oval Office in the White House. They turn on a TV set in the room.
Gonna look like a bunch of dipsy doodles if this turns out to be a hoax.
Well, we would look very foolish if we didn't take every precaution and it turned out not to be a hoax.
Dr. Fassbender and Operation Looking Glass is certainly no hoax, Mr. Secretary.
God, a weapon like that in the hands of a crazy Frenchman.
At the castle.
You are certain? You can do it!
Theoretically, yes.
For your daughter's sake, I sincerely hope so. Ah, the dreams I had. All the terrible things I was going to do to that sweet child if you fail.
Look, I've done everything you asked.
Not yet. When the UN building vanishes, then you will have done everything I asked. What do you suppose they will call the crater, huh? The Dreyfus Ditch!
There should be no crater.
No crater? But I want a crater. I want wreckage, twisted metal, something the world will not forget.
They will not forget today.
They won't? Wonderful. I have to tinkle again. Don't do anything till I get back.
Too late. The countdown started. 1 minute.
In a control room in the castle, Professor Fassbender programs the control panels ready for the strike. A large laser machine pivots on its axis, spinning round towards a large shuttered opening in the wall. As it slides open, views across the mountain range are revealed. In America, crowds line the banks of the river overlooking the United Nations building. In the Oval Office, the president checks his watch.
30 seconds.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3.
The bright red laser beam stretches from the castle to America. With a precision strike, it wipes out the United Nations building, dissolving it from the top floor downwards. Dreyfus broadcast via the television to the president.
Today, the UN building. Tomorrow, who knows? I think by now that the nations of the world are aware of the awesome power which I control. A power so great that if I choose, I could wipe out an entire city.
After all, what is the life of a man compared to the destruction of a whole city? I give you 7 days. 7 days.
Okay.
Well done. Well done. So, now we wait.
All this to get one cop. But we have some of the finest hitmen here in Europe in this very room.
Yeah, why don't we take care of it ourselves, huh?
Because you wouldn't stand a chance.
Come on.
You don't know Clouseau.
He can't be that good.
Yeah. Good? He is not good. He's terrible.
He's the worst. There is not any man like him anywhere in the world. Compared to Clouseau, this doomsday machine is just a water pistol. That's why it will take all the great nations with all of their trained assassins and all of their sophisticated murder weapons to eliminate Clouseau.
An assassin carrying a knife follows Clouseau out of his hotel.
Taxi, please.
The assassin follows him to the taxi, but as he is about to attack, the inspector swings round with the briefcase in his hands, unwittingly saving himself.
What are you doing?
That's my case.
Lucky for you, I'm in a hurry, otherwise you would have been arrested.
And when it comes to the matter of eliminating Clouseau, nobody wants to have anybody else get the credit for it. It's a matter of national pride.
Well, I think we all agree, don't we, Mr. President, that we simply cannot afford to allow any other country to get hold of Fassbender's machine.
And crazy or not, anyone who has gone to the lengths that Dreyfus has gone to in order to eliminate one man is reasonable to assume that Dreyfus will smile very kindly on the one who eliminates Inspector Clouseau.
I think that's pretty far-fetched.
Mr. President, if I told you 1 week ago that the UN building would disappear and that a certified lunatic would blackmail the entire...
You made your point. What do we do?
Well, Mr. President, Clouseau is in Munich. Well, I ordered one of our top people to Munich yesterday.
Yesterday?
Well, just in case. He just reported in. Clouseau has gone to the Oktoberfest.
I wonder if we have enough time before the others act.
Well, Germany's already acted and bungled it. According to the latest code transmission, 12 countries have got their top assassins in Munich, and they're all converging on the Oktoberfest.
My God, it will be like a shooting gallery.
Nighttime. A banner at the entrance to a funfair reads, "Willkommen zum Oktoberfest." Crowds of people mill around at the fair, eating candy floss and enjoying the rides. Waltzers, a haunted house, and a large Ferris wheel, all illuminated with brightly coloured lights. Clouseau, wearing his trademark beige mac and brown hat, mingles with the crowds. An unsavoury-looking Far Eastern man follows Clouseau's every move. Then another ice cream-eating assassin joins in on the pursuit of Clouseau. Just as the first man is about to attack the inspector, the second man releases a knife out of the end of his shoe, and with a swift kick, stabs the hitman in the back of the leg. Clouseau wanders off, oblivious to the events taking place directly behind him. Another assassin hiding in the haunted house takes aim with his gun and shoots the ice cream eating assassin in the back. Clouseau arrives inside a large, crowded tent housing a beer festival. The participants are in high spirits, singing and dancing. A band performs on a small stage. Waiters and waitresses are dressed in traditional lederhosen costumes. A male dwarf weaves through the crowds with his sights firmly set on the inspector. A man dressed as a female waitress also spies on Clouseau. He triggers spikes out of his fake breasts and heads off after him. Clouseau reluctantly takes a large pretzel from a waiter. Standing in the middle of a group of people, the male waitress approaches Clouseau and hugs him tightly. The spikes pierce through the pretzel, but not Clouseau. The inspector moves swiftly away. Undeterred, the waitress follows Clouseau through the crowds. The dwarf, hot on his tail, chases after him and trips him up. He stumbles forward, landing spikes down, impaling himself on a wooden table. The dwarf then takes aim with his crossbow at Clouseau. But as he is about to shoot, a man sitting at an adjacent table picks him up off of his feet. The dwarf squirms about in his arms. Meanwhile, a member of the band takes off the mouthpiece of his clarinet and inserts a dart. Clouseau spots the tussle between the dwarf and the man and intervenes, snatching the dwarf up into his arms. The dwarf prepares to stab Clouseau as the musician fires his dart, which lands in the dwarf's bottom. Clouseau puts the little man back down on the ground. As the inspector turns his back on him, his eyes roll to the back of his head and he collapses on the floor, dead. Clouseau enters the gents' toilets and stands in a line for a urinal. A man with a gun gets into the queue behind him. Upon seeing a man come out of a cubicle, Clouseau dives out of the queue and goes into the toilet. Another assassin bypasses the first man with a gun and goes into the adjacent cubicle to the inspector. After a brief wait, the other neighbouring cubicle becomes free and the man with the gun goes inside. Both of the assassins look under the door to check that Clouseau is still next to them, but as they both prepare to shoot, Clouseau ducks down to pick up a dropped toilet roll. The hitmen fire, but end up killing each other. Clouseau comes out of his toilet to retrieve the toilet roll, but in so doing a man goes into his cubicle. Clouseau knocks on the door and hands him the toilet roll before heading out of the gents.
Sir? I better call the president.
Do you know what time it is?
He wants me to call.
Let me in, Coach. What's the score? Yes! Oh, it's okay. How many?
26, Mr. President.
Holy cow. No wonder Dreyfus wants that Clouseau killed. He's a one-man army. Who's left?
Just the Russian and the Egyptian.
The Egyptian assassin comes out of a lift and walks a short distance along a corridor to Clouseau's hotel suite. Using a key, he lets himself in. Outside the main entrance to the smart hotel, a dark-haired man wearing a beige Mac pulls up in a BMW. He parks the car by the front doors. He looks at a photograph of Clouseau, a brown-haired man with a moustache dressed in his Mac, hat, and holding a magnifying glass. The man puts on a fake moustache, a brown hat, then gets out of his car. Inside Clouseau's hotel room, the Egyptian locks the door behind him. He crosses the lounge and switches off the lights before heading into the bedroom. In reception, the Clouseau impersonator arrives at the desk. A pretty young woman wearing a long fur coat with a matching hat approaches the reception desk. The Clouseau lookalike gets into a lift and goes to the fifth floor. The woman takes the next lift also to the fifth floor. In Clouseau's room, the Egyptian hides in the shadows of the lounge. The fake Clouseau enters the room and switches on the lights. The man masquerading as Clouseau crosses the room and switches off the light. He then enters the bedroom, turning on the light. Pacing through the room, he goes into the bathroom, where the Egyptian man lays in wait behind the door with his gun and silencer at the ready. He shoots and kills the man posing as the inspector. The man falls backwards into the bath in a collapsed heap. Meanwhile, the woman in the fur coat has entered the flat and is lying on the bed as the Egyptian comes out of the ensuite. The Egyptian man turns off the light in the room. He points his gun at the woman, then edges over towards the bed.
I couldn't sleep, and I just happened to be in the neighborhood. I hope you don't mind.
She sits up on the bed. He takes her in his arms and lowers her gently down onto the sheets. Their lips meet.
Oh, you Frenchmen are so romantic.
Thank heaven. Oh, little girl.
The real Jacques Clouseau comes out of the lift onto his hotel floor, then lets himself into his suite, as the Egyptian man departs out of a second door out of the suite. Inside, Clouseau struts into his bedroom throwing on the light. He takes off his trench coat before entering the ensuite. The woman lays naked in the bed. She rubs her eyes due to the glare of the lights. She turns the lights off again. She then slips out of bed and puts on her fur coat. She walks out of the bedroom and turns on the lights in the lounge, where she smokes a cigarette. Clouseau comes out of the ensuite in his pyjamas and turns the bedroom lights out again. He then turns them on again and stares puzzled at his ruffled bedsheets. Clouseau straightens out the bedsheets and plumps up the pillows before climbing into the bed. Sitting up in his bed, he ponders for a moment before getting back out of the bed and going to the bedroom door. With his back to the lounge, he switches off the lounge lights. The woman watches his movements from the lounge. As he clambers back into bed, the woman props herself up against the bedroom door, staring seductively at him. Clouseau, with his face hidden behind a magazine, doesn't notice her as she walks through the room into the ensuite. She turns on the bathroom light and shuts the door behind her. Still looking unsettled, Clouseau puts his magazine down by the side of the bed. He puffs up the pillows again, turns out the lights, and snuggles down into the double bed. The woman opens the ensuite door and switches off the light. She walks across the room to the side of the bed, then slips off her fur coat. Naked, she climbs into the bed next to the inspector.
Oh, forgive me, darling. I've just washed my hands. Oh, they must have been freezing.
Freezing, yes, yes.
Something wrong?
Wrong? No. What could be wrong?
Then come back to bed.
Yes, yes, of course. Into the bed, you know.
And take off those so silly pajamas.
You may rest assured you will never see these silly pajamas again.
That I can assure you.
The worried inspector hides himself away in the ensuite.
Yes, I won't be a moment. Darling. I'm just going to take a bath. Excuse me. Yes. Hello, this is Chief Inspector Clouseau. There is a beautiful woman in my bed and a dead man in my bath.
Hearing the words he's uttered out aloud, the inspector wears a look of shock on his face. He hangs up the receiver and goes back to inspect the body in the bath.
You're going to take a bath. I want to take one with you. Darling, it's freezing out here. Let me in.
Madame, I arrest you for the murder of the man in this bathtub.
What?
And I must warn you that anything you say will be taken down and used in evidence against me. You.
Who is he?
I don't know. He looks familiar.
He looks like you.
Looks like me. Tell me the bank robber.
What is he doing in your bathtub dressed up like you?
It is a question I could very easily ask you.
But he has been shot. And I do not carry a gun.
Obviously not, no.
I am Olga Beryosova. Until 1 hour ago, I was a loyal Russian agent and a direct order from the Presidium to kill you.
To kill me?
I was considered the perfect liquidator because no man had ever been able to involve me emotionally until tonight. Do you think that you could fall in love with an ex-Russian agent?
Well, of course, everything is possible, yes.
She kisses him.
But you are not the same.
Huh? Oh, well, of course, dead men in bathtubs have been known to make quite a difference, you know. Anyway, this is the man who can lead me to the lunatic Dreyfus. It is my sworn duty to apprehend.
I too had a sworn duty, but I have forsaken it, become traitor, given up everything for you.
With me, it is the duty that comes first.
Oh, make an exception just this once.
I wish that I could.
Oh, you can. I guarantee it.
No, you see, Oh, look, look.
What?
That tattoo. When I arrested Tournier, he did not have that tattoo.
It looks like the Monshine crest.
Monshine?
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
An infamous family who ruled Bavaria in the 15th century.
Uh-huh.
I read somewhere that the Monshine castle had recently been sold.
You read somewhere that they had sold the castle? Oh. Fancy them selling the castle just like that. The castle. Yes. Dreyfus.
Dreyfus.
He is in the castle. Merde.
Farewell. I am off to Mönchen Castle.
In the castle with Fassbender, Dreyfus sits on a throne eating a meal around a large banqueting table.
Must be getting a cavity.
When can my daughter and I leave?
When Clouseau is no more, perhaps.
I have done everything you asked.
You've done everything I've asked so far. But I have not asked everything.
What you mean is that you have no intention of letting us go. You plan to continue your reign of terror, whether Clouseau is eliminated or not.
I must admit the thought had occurred to me.
You are mad.
And you are redundant, Professor. Redundant and fallacious. Madness does not preclude achievement.
You cannot operate the machine without me.
Not yet, but when you have taught me.
And if I refuse to teach you?
And regrettably, I would have to take the matter up with your charming daughter.
What kind of a man are you?
A madman. You said so yourself.
Boss! Boss!
The man whispers in Dreyfus's ear.
Huh? It's true.
When?
Early this morning, in his hotel room.
Ah, he's dead! Ah, he's dead in his hotel bedroom! Hooray! I'm free! Oh, I am so happy, Professor!
Clouseau walks into the reception of a remote German hotel on the banks of a river surrounded by mountains.
Guten Tag.
Good day.
My name is Professor Guy Gadbois, medieval castle authority from Marseille. Tell me, do you have a room?
I do not know what a room is.
Clouseau pulls a German translation book out of his Mac pocket.
Zimmer.
Ah, a room.
That is what I have been saying, you idiot. Room. Zimmer.
The elderly pipe-smoking gentleman hands Clouseau a room key. Clouseau studies it before moving through the reception area. He then stops before a small, scruffy terrier dog.
Does your dog bite?
No.
Nice dog. I thought you said your dog did not bite.
That is not my dog.
In the countryside surrounding the castle, Clouseau appears from behind a bush. Armed with a long rope with a hook on the end, he wends his way to the side of the moat encompassing the castle. The inspector swings the rope towards the wall above the castle gate, but loses his balance and falls into the moat. The inspector climbs out of the moat and up a grassy bank. Clouseau gathers up his rope and repositions himself before the drawbridge. The multi-spiked metal hook at the end of the rope has collected a clump of long grass. Clouseau picks it off and throws it into the water. Taking hold of the rope, he swings it backwards and forwards a couple of times before aiming for the drawbridge. The hook takes hold of a wooden slat on the underside of the bridge. Clouseau gives it a tug to check that it is stable, then swings towards it. Having misjudged the length of the rope, he lands straight into the water. Undeterred, Clouseau hoists himself up on the rope. As he does so, the bridge lowers and dunks him back into the water. Across the bridge, a green Range Rover is driven out of the castle grounds. Frustrated, Clouseau swims to the bank again and climbs out. With the drawbridge down, he hurriedly makes his way over to it, but just misses crossing it as it retracts up into the closed position. In desperation, he tries in vain to grab hold of it as it is hoisted up, but is unable to secure his grip and falls back into the water. Finding a canoe and an oar, Clouseau paddles around the moat. As he approaches the drawbridge, it lowers. Frantically, Clouseau tries to back paddle, but finds himself trapped directly underneath it as a green Range Rover exits the castle. When Clouseau reappears from out of the underside of the bridge, the impact of the bridge lowering on top of him has forced Clouseau through the bottom of the boat, and it has filled up with water. Clouseau's next attempt at scaling the tall castle walls involves finding a long wooden branch in the woods and using it as a pole vault. Standing on the bank of the moat, he dips the branch into the water, gauging its depth. He takes a run up at the moat, plants the branch, and swings out over the water. His attempt fails, and he falls into the water. Dreyfus.
Anything I can get you, boss?
Can't stand it any longer. Get me a dentist.
Clouseau sits in the hotel reception wrapped in a blanket.
Here. The doctor is a dentist. He made mine teeth for me. They want him up at the castle.
Up at the castle? Where can I find him?
Dr. Schultz has gone fishing. He probably won't be back until...
Show me his zimmer. His ring.
Clouseau, disguised as the dentist, rides a bike up a gravel track to the front of the castle. He pops his horn as he approaches the drawbridge.
Hello! It's Dr. Schultz from the village, you know?
The drawbridge is lowered and Clouseau starts to cycle across the bridge. It is then hoisted back up whilst the inspector is still on the bridge. He is catapulted into the grounds of the castle on the rickety old bike.
Dr. Schultz is here.
Where?
Ah, here, doctor. Please hurry. I am in agony.
Guten Tag. The gates. All will be well soon.
Did you hurt yourself?
Yes. The burn. I can set it later.
Please,
doctor. First of all, I will need some hot water and towels.
Get some hot water, Harry. And lock the door. I don't want to be disturbed.
And lock the door, Harry. He does not wish to be disturbed, you know.
Please, doctor, Harry, I can't stand the pain.
Yes. Yes. Now then, let me see.
Ah! Ow!
What?
My eye.
Your eye? I thought it was your tooth.
But it is my tooth!
Well, I wish you would make your mind up. I don't normally make castle calls in the middle of the night, you know. Wait while I... Yes, that's good. Now, open wide, please. Now, let me see. Tell me when this hurts. Is it that one? Is it that one? Is it that one? Ah, there's the naughty one.
Are you going to pull it?
Pull it? Yes, of course I will pull it. Yes.
Please give me something to put me out.
Put you out? Yes, here first you must wear the special anesthetic cotton wool, you know. Wear it over the eyes. On no account look out from under the anesthetic cotton, because that ruins the whole effect of the anesthetic on the eyes, you know.
Want me to hold it like that?
Hold it like that on the eyes while I get some more.
Please, hurry, doctor. I can't stand the pain.
Yes, coming soon.
Clouseau runs around the room looking for a weapon to clobber Dreyfus with. He finds a heavy metal spiked club, which he drags across the room.
What are you doing?
Just rearranging the furniture in order to give you the full effect of the anesthetic.
Please, yeah? Doctor. I'm in agony.
Not for much longer.
Clouseau uses all of his strength to raise the heavy club above his head, but the weight of it topples him off balance, and he tumbles down a flight of stairs.
That was hell down there.
What's wrong?
Whoever built this house put the stairs in the wrong place.
You mean you fell down the stairs?
I was preoccupied with the anesthetic, you know. It's really hot in here, isn't it? Hot in here. Now, the anesthetic.
nitrous oxide.
What's that?
That is the anesthetic, you know.
Oh, good.
Yes, it is good, yes. Yeah.
Please, doctor. The pain is getting worse. Please, hurry up.
A few whiffs of this, and you won't feel a thing.
All right.
Now, breathe deeply. How's that?
It's fine.
How do you feel?
A little dizzy. What's so funny?
I don't know, nothing.
And why are you laughing?
No, why are you laughing?
Because I can't help it.
Yes, good.
I'd love it.
He's gonna hurt.
Oh, good. Lovely.
I will have to use more lever.
I don't know what you gave me, Doctor, but it's giving me hallucinations. Your whole face has changed.
How's this?
Grotesque!
We just got word, Bart. Pluto's still alive.
I knew it! He has pulled the wrong tooth. There's only one man who would pull the wrong tooth. It's Clouseau. Kill him. Kill him.
With a fit of laughter and with his latex mask melting off of his face, Clouseau darts out of the room, slamming shut a large set of double wooden doors behind him. Dreyfus sets two of his henchmen onto him. Clouseau staggers along a corridor and up a spiral staircase. Unable to open the doors, the henchmen return to Dreyfus's side.
Get Fassbender and his daughter into the control room.
What about Clouseau?
Priorities. First I will pick a target. Then Clouseau.
Gingerly Clouseau, free of his disguise, opens up a door into a darkened room. Inside the room, he walks past a coat of arms. Struck with an idea, he stops to lift up the face armour.
Now we'll see who has the last laugh. They've all betrayed me and now they will have to pay. What shall I destroy? Buckingham Palace? Too small. How about London? Not big enough. England! Yes, England! Goodbye, Piccadilly. Farewell, Leicester Square.
Now wearing the suit of arms, Clouseau walks onto a balcony overlooking the control room within the castle.
You are just in time, Professor. Within 5 minutes, I shall destroy England. England! No more cricket. No more warm beer, Professor. No more fish and chips. No more...
Clouseau finds a rope and swings across the room on it. His crash landing sends him through a window and outside into some pigswill.
England!
Professor Fassbender tries to intercept the controls, but one of Dreyfus's armed hitmen blocks his path. Dreyfus sets about punching codes into a machine. Meanwhile, outside, Clouseau, covered in animal poop, staggers through a farmyard. With his vision blighted by the metal headgear, he takes a seat unwittingly on the long arm of a catapult. He then removes the facial armour. A goat chews through a rope attached to the catapult, and Clouseau is thrown through the air back into the control room, landing straddled upon the large laser gun. Chaos breaks out and dials read, danger, overload. The red beam of the laser fires at the legs of a terrified Dreyfus. Fassbender and his daughter take cover.
Do something! You brought it on yourself! It's too late!
Fassbender and his daughter run clutching to one another out of the room. Clouseau falls off of the large laser machine into a heap on the ground. He does a double take as he notices Dreyfus's legs have vanished from the knees down. Clouseau, wearing the suit of armour, clambers awkwardly to his feet, then with great difficulty scuttles out of the room as the machinery begins to malfunction around him. From out of the castle gates, a mass exodus of staff flee from the building, via cars, on bicycles and on foot. In desperation, some members of staff jump from the high castle walls into the moat. Last to escape is Clouseau. But as he crosses the drawbridge, it begins to rise. Clouseau dives to the end of the bridge and drops into the moat just before the bridge slams shut. One of the castle turrets begins to glow red, then disappears from existence. Inside the castle, Dreyfus, with a demonic expression on his face, plays manically on the grand church organ. Until little by little, the rest of his body vaporizes into a puff of smoke. From afar, the Fassbenders watch as the whole castle is encompassed in a bright red ball of light. It then vanishes from the landscape completely. Time passes. Clouseau arrives home with his suitcase at his apartment.
Get home, my little yellow friend, I'm home. Get home.
Clouseau's suspicious when his manservant doesn't respond to his calls. Clouseau cautiously checks around the apartment for him. Clouseau enters his bedroom. Incense sticks are burning and bubbles are floating in the air. All of the furniture has been removed and the walls have been painted red. With a furrowed brow, Clouseau paces about the room.
I gave Cato the night off.
But what has happened to my ring?
Wearing only her fur coat, she seductively struts across the room towards Clouseau. Behind her, a large double bed unfolds from the wall. Clouseau's dark brown eyes bulge out of their sockets as she tantalizingly slips off the coat, then climbs into the bed, covered with an animal print quilt.
And the world will be ours tonight. Come on, hold me tight. I must have you.
Standing masterfully at the foot of the bed, Clouseau peels off his suit jacket, tossing it to the side of the room. Without taking his eyes off of her, he begins to remove his red tie. He becomes flummoxed as he struggles to undo the knot. Trying to keep up his manly composure, he turns his back on her and manically yanks at the tie. She watches on with amusement as he tries to peel the item off over his head. Eventually, he turns back to look at her with the tie stuck around his forehead. Pointing comically at the tie, he expresses his desperation. Then, undeterred, he rips off his white shirt, revealing his hairy chest. He becomes troubled again when the shirt sleeves get stuck around his wrists. Clouseau flails around in a desperate attempt to remove the item of clothing. Sitting up in the bed, Olga blows at the bubbles as they float past her. Olga waits patiently in the extra-large bed. Until after many failed attempts, Clouseau finally manages to free himself of the shirt. The inspector endeavours to undo the belt on his trousers without complications, but his best efforts are thwarted. Trying to cover up the clothing malfunction, he slides onto the end of the bed like an animal about to pounce on its prey, then slips down onto the floor to try and discreetly undo the belt. He then climbs under the covers and crawls across the large bed, trying to find Olga.
Darling. Darling. Oh.
Darling.
Darling, sing to me.
Sing to you? Come to me and away, away beyond the night.
Darling, 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 where did you go?
Your voice.
Yes, that was my voice. That was my voice singing a little song we used to sing in the Resistance to keep up the courage.
Was it hard for you in the Resistance?
Very hard, but not as hard as it is now.
Darling, relax. The Resistance is over.
Darling. A beautiful darling.
What? Kato! You imbecile, not now, Kato!
As the fight breaks out between Kato and Clouseau, the bed flips up back to the wall and all three of them are thrown through an outside wall and into an adjacent river. A cartoon image of Clouseau floating back up to the surface of the water, followed by the Pink Panther with a mouthful of razor-sharp teeth like jaws. The end. Thank you.